Welcome to the Here to Be Human podcast, a podcast created to hold space for authentic human conversation through the lens of the feminine. Here, we will dive deep into the realms of motherhood, birth, seasons of womanhood, and so much more. I am your host, Lucy. I hope you enjoy today's episode. Hello, and welcome to my first episode of the Here to Be Human podcast. It's taken many attempts to land here and begin recording, but I'm here. The kids are set up watching a movie and my baby is asleep. So I am grasping this opportunity to begin. And I really want this episode to be a bit about me introducing myself to you, but also the why of why I'm here and why I am doing this podcast. Both are very interwoven. So I'm just going to dive in and tell you a little bit about my story, about who I am, and it will lead inevitably into why I've decided to do this new thing in the midst of mama chaos. All right, let's begin. So I'm Lucy and I'm a mother and I have four amazing children. To go back to the very beginning, I guess, because this thread travels back to me being a little 3.5-year-old, attending my sister's birth. I was really impacted by that experience, and I can remember so much of that day of my mum labouring and us travelling down the mountain. We lived in a mud brick house that my parents built on 70 acres of bush on a mountain. So we traveled down the mountain and I remember dad needing to stop and mum getting out to sway her hips and labour. And I remember dad had set me up a mattress on the floor in the birthing room. This was 1993, and I actually think now, reflecting back and comparing it to how birth in hospital these days is, like how radical and amazing that was, that they just were so flexible and open, as it should be, to the sibling coming into the birth space and like fully setting up camp. And I remember my mom had a doula in the space, Sundare, and she appears again later in my thread of story. And I remember looking across the hall at one point and seeing another pregnant woman smiling at me. And I feel really emotional actually thinking about that. It was just, birth seemed so normal and so beautiful and I felt so safe. I didn't feel scared. And then my mom birthed my sister. And from that point forward, I remember just being so fascinated with birth. Whenever we watched any movie, I was instantly like, if there was a baby in the movie or someone was about to have a baby or there was a birth scene, which would have been a horrible birth scene, FYI. But you know, very medicalized and hands-on as I always are, and dramatic. But I didn't feel scared, and I just was like perplexed and like, wow. And always wanted to hold like mum's friends' babies and any babies in the community. And this kind of was just an interest, or it was more like a knowing, like this inner knowing. I really do believe that I, in another timeline, in another lifetime, was a midwife or some kind of person who supported the birth space, because it's just been like this thing that's been inside of me forever. So life rolled on. I did lots of babysitting. I always loved the idea of birth and motherhood, and I'm so thankful to my mum for exposing me to so many things that made it feel like a beautiful experience and something not to fear. I remember asking mum questions like, did it hurt? Did you feel worried to be naked in front of people? And mum just honestly answered, and it was just the best education and foundation to set me up to then birth and mother my own babies from a place of excitement rather than fear. Moving forward, I learned about the career path of midwifery when I was in year 10 and we were doing careers week. And that word really struck me and I really identified with it, and I was like, yes, this is what I want to do. And from that point forward, I did everything in my power to set myself up to get into uni to study to be a midwife. Then the universe works in mysterious ways, and I didn't get into uni. I didn't get a high enough score at the end of year 12 to get in to the course that I wanted to get into. I was very devastated. My dreams were crushed. But mum somehow had still been in connection with, well, Sundere, this beautiful woman. She actually lives in our local community. So yeah, mum obviously had been kind of always in contact with her in some shape or form, and knew that she was doing this doula training in Melbourne with this other amazing woman, Anna. And she said, they're starting like in 2 weeks. You should do this doula training, this birth attendant training, and maybe that will help you get into uni, or at least it will be a really nice course for you to do in the meantime. And I'm so thankful I didn't get into uni that first year when I was 18. I'm so, so thankful that I then landed in this doula training. And it essentially was a group of women, all different ages, all different backgrounds, life experiences, coming to sit in circle every week for 6 months. But we also did these a few other things that then it took up the whole year. And sharing and unpacking our stories, our birth stories, our conditioning, our language, really unpacking so that we could be so aware of who we are and what we essentially may bring into a woman's space when we're holding space for a pregnant, birthing, postpartum woman, and to not project that onto her. So most of it was actually just like diving deep into ourselves and doing art and sharing and storytelling and watched heaps of amazing birth documentaries by Jenny Blythe, and there was a few others that were just changed my complete perception of birth yet again and made me really understand what birth is, the essence of birth. and mothering and being a woman. And I'm getting goosebumps right now because it was just such a potent place to find myself in as an 18-year-old young girl, young adult, young woman. I really don't think I was a woman at that point. I was so just, felt so lost, and I'm so happy that I got to experience what it felt like to be held by the feminine, to be able to share in a safe place and explore who I was. And the facilitators, Anna and Sundre, were just so authentic and real and beautiful, and they would share so vulnerably as well. So there was no hierarchy. It was like we were all one, all sitting together, and there was a trust, and we journeyed. And to this day, it's the best thing that I've ever done, ever in my whole life. And I always come back to that truth of that women need spaces like that. Women learn best through storytelling and sharing their own stories to unpack them and go deeper into their journey, but also listening to other people's stories where they see themes and things mirrored back to them, and sitting in just this space where there is no hierarchy, there is no one person, you know, we are all one and we have different levels of experience, yes, wisdom, yes, but there's just this deep respect for one another. And then when I did get into my midwifery degree, it was just such a shock to the system because I'd been in this cocoon, like space. And then it was like the lights were turned on, the fluorescent lights were turned on. And it was this one-dimensional course where it was like, it was just all theory, all cerebral. It was very clinical. They tried to be more like, in inverted commas, woman-centered, but it just wasn't. And I was just like, this has nothing on my doula training, like what? And I really struggled to be in that course, but I was so adamant and so tied to this identity of midwife that I struggled through, even though I felt so traumatized by the clinical placements we did and the ideas that were shoved down my throat that I needed to take on as my own, and the lack of respect for women, the lack of understanding of physiological birth and holistic care. But I just kept going and thinking at some point it will shift and I'll have more autonomy and I can truly be with women. So this then, towards the end of my course, I met my amazing and beautiful partner Lee, and it was at a random music festival in Northern Victoria. And we had a long distance relationship for a while, and then when I completed my midwifery, there was no graduate positions in Melbourne. There was just too many people leaving uni and not enough positions. And basically it was very hard to find a job without doing a grad year. So I then made the decision to apply for graduate positions in New South Wales, where my partner was from. And I traveled up here, didn't know anyone, started this job. And it was just the most traumatic experience. It was even more traumatic than uni, because I think even though I found myself in these clinical situations that were just so intense, like witnessing women just be completely disrespected and, for lack of a better word, like brutalized, honestly, in so many, many ways, and then being made to participate in that or witness it as such a young woman, then to be like solely responsible, be the person, like there was no teachers around to then debrief with. It was just, I was thrown into this position where they actually hadn't set up the grad year very well. There was meant to be a lot more support, but they were just so understaffed, and I was just found myself in very compromising positions, and it was so scary to be in that position. And I would struggle to go to work, honestly, and come home in tears, and I felt very depressed, and I didn't have any community and support networks up here. But it was during the end of my grad year that I discovered that I was pregnant with my first baby. I was 23, and it was this opportunity for me to unplug from where I was and to go internal and grow this baby and do it the way that I thought it should be done. Like, that's kind of the mentality I had. I was like, I need to just stop witnessing this horrible way, and I'm just gonna have this baby now, and I'm gonna do it the way that I know it should be done. But I reflect now, like, how intellectualized and how in my head I was about this whole process of becoming a mother, and obviously carried like a lot of trauma. So I ended up bleeding in my first trimester and had an early scan, and it showed that I actually had conceived twins and had lost one of them early on, was like, shook me a little bit. And then I was just really made this big decision to leave my job, and I just wanted to cocoon myself and my baby and just leave I was just in such a place of fight or flight and absolute depletion and stress. I needed to like leave. So I left and I had a really internal like the rest of my pregnancy I was very alone. I just used to be at home a lot. Lee was at work. Obviously mum and dad and all my friends were in Victoria. And it was like beautiful medicine, but also like quite a dark place. And I really craved like elders to come and initiate me through that time. I really wish I had had a circle like my doula training circle to just go and sit in and share and feel really safe and supported. And but I was just like alone a lot, and I chose to have a home birth because I knew I didn't want a birth in the system. And yeah, so I had this baby at home. His whole labor he was posterior. It was really hard. Had a lot of back pain. I was in my head so much, in my midwife head, and it was like this internal battle of trying to control the situation and overanalyze everything, and I was not in my body at all. And when I birthed him, I did not feel connected to him or myself, and I was shocked by that. I did not have an oxytocin high, and I remember holding him and not even knowing who this baby was. I was like, you're not the baby that was inside of me. And I know now that that is because I'm just such a highly sensitive person, and my physiology was interrupted by having a midwife in the space. And I really just needed to have been left alone, and had been able to just drop into my body. Everyone is different, but I really feel that like I'm just such a hypersensitive person that I did feel like I was just so aware the whole time that there was like people in my space. And I think also just because I left midwifery, I had that fresh in my mind, that whole experience. And I remember at one point, I was holding him and I looked over at the clothes that I had worn the day before on the floor, and it was just this profound moment of like death. Like I felt like that is a dead body over there. Like I had to throw the clothes away because, yes, a death had happened, I had died as the maiden Lucy and I had stepped over the threshold now into mother Lucy, and I didn't feel prepared. I didn't know who, I didn't have the appropriate elders holding me and showing me the way and making me feel prepared, you know, in all the right ways. Yes, I had the cerebral knowledge from being a midwife, and I'm so lucky to have had positive modeling from my mum. But in so many ways, I didn't have the right people guiding me, because there aren't, I've come to realize recently since having my last baby, there just aren't the women there. We don't know how to hold mothers over that threshold. We don't know how to hold, like, as we go into our Marga season, you know, like, we're not properly held and initiated across thresholds. We don't have enough opportunities to sit in circle and learn from one another as well, and for each season to be understood and to see how other people navigate it. Motherhood was thrust upon me. I felt like it was thrust upon me. I was like thrown in the deep end, and it was really quite a shock, because I was like, in my ego, like, I'm gonna do it the right way, I'm gonna have a home birth, and I know how to breastfeed, and I know, you know, because I've helped so many other women, witnessed it. I knew nothing, and it was the most humbling experience, where I was just like cut right down and had to rebuild and try and get to know myself again. But it was definitely like me trying to get back to my maiden, instead of fully embodying the mother. I then had my next baby quite soon after my first, and then I had a surprise third pregnancy. So it was just this one after another, kind of, I felt slammed. I felt so unsupported. I was in survival mode, and it was so hard, and I craved people. I craved the women to support me and hold me, but instead I felt like I had to go into my masculine and forge forward and deal with it, instead of feeling like I could be in my softness and really receive the medicine of motherhood and enjoy my babies. And I felt so depleted and in a place of absolute, like, I was so hard and brittle, and I just didn't feel in my body. I was so checked out and in survival mode, just keeping these little people alive. In between all of that, I tried to work and do midwifery, all the while trying to get into home birth midwifery, but it was like pushing a boulder up a hill. At every turn, something would work against me, and I couldn't get into home birth midwifery. And then the laws changed, and you needed to become Medicare eligible before you could be a midwife at home. So I was back at square one, because I didn't have enough consistent hours worked, because I'd been working casually. I'd been attending a few home births, sort of as just learning the ropes and being a second midwife, but I didn't have the consecutive hours banked up in the time frame required, and I had to do all of these other courses and tick all these other boxes. And I was like, oh my goodness. I ended up going back to work, kind of basically, well, it felt full time, but it was part time hours at a private hospital. And this really cemented my decision to not continue midwifery anymore. Private hospital is essentially run by obstetricians, and midwives assist them. And it was very disempowering for me personally, but also the things that I witnessed. It felt very backward. And I felt even more scared of birth. I'd no longer trusted birth. There was so much intervention And women who tried to have a physiological birth were blocked at every turn. Everything worked against them. I felt so defeated. So I made the hardest decision, because it felt like surrendering part of my identity, to leave and let go of my registration and no longer be a midwife. It was also during this time that I really started to understand just how regulated even home birth was in Australia, and how little autonomy midwives have, how it really is just an extension of the hospital system in so many ways, and it really didn't align with how I visualized midwifery to be, how I wanted to work, and it just, all the pieces of the puzzle suddenly came together, and it became clear that working as a midwife as a career path was no longer a viable option, and I just needed to step away. It was the only thing to do. It's taken me many years. I think it's been 3 years since I let go of my registration, and it's been, a lot of grief that I've had to work through and re-finding myself. After I left, I found out I was pregnant again with my fourth baby, and he is such a medicine little baby. He is this baby that I've dreamt of when I was pregnant with my first, and he's the baby I expected to be born when I birthed my first son. I felt him hanging around. He came to me when I was about to give birth to my third, and I thought he was going to come through then. And he really showed me how to come back to trusting my body, being in my body, completely getting out of my head, trusting birth again. And it was such a blessing. I feel so thankful that he has come. He has really helped me close out the chapter of having babies and gifted me so much closure in the whole midwifery journey. I came out of my third birth experience feeling quite traumatized, because even though it was a straightforward birth, it was, I didn't feel like it was my birth. I felt like it had all happened to me, and I felt like I couldn't use my voice, and I felt like I had to have a midwife there again, the one that I had had at all my other births. I kind of just went into default mode, and instead I did have instincts of like, I just want to be left alone, but I didn't do it. I just sort of, at that time I just didn't have it in me. So this time I was like, I know I don't want a midwife at this birth. I know that I need to birth unhindered and unobserved, even by my partner, even by my children, and I'm going to take up all of that space, and I'm going to finally be able to experience the oxytocin high when my body is left to just do its thing, and I feel safe, and I'm gonna feel connected to my baby, and I'm gonna lean in to any fear that arises, and I'm gonna work through it, and I'm not gonna come at birth through the lens of fear. I'm gonna experience what it's like to take my instincts seriously and back myself. And his birth, pregnancy and birth, was honestly the most transformative experience. Birthing him on my own terms, in my own way, was the initiation that I craved and had been missing out on. Birthing him made me finally feel the embodiment of motherhood, and it catapulted me on this whole new trajectory. And around this time of conceiving him and growing him and birthing him and being freshly postpartum, I created a business with a friend for a little while doing women's work, and we did a podcast, and I loved doing the podcast. It felt so like a big yes for me, like a full body yes. I loved hearing people's stories and being able to put them out into the world, and for other women to be able to tap into that story medicine. And it's like, I wish I could sit in a women's circle every day of my life. But this is the next best thing. Having real, raw stories, the feminine sharing and hearing and learning. I love it so much. And I just kept coming back to this, like, what can I offer this world while I'm deep in my mother season that feels like I can hold space for women who are crossing thresholds? How can I connect in with community for myself as well? You know, like, it's so isolating being a mother. But how can I also just be with my children? Like, what is this? Because being a birth worker, you end up leaving your children a lot, being on call. It's big. And so this podcast idea has just kept coming back to me. I want to do a podcast again. I want to really be able to share like all the knowledge that I have accumulated in my, you know, 34 years. And I want women to have access to another portal of storytelling. Like, there's so many amazing podcasts now, and I just think this is such a beautiful way for women to easily to learn and tap into something. I want you to be able to plug in when you're feeling a bit lost or a bit alone, or you've got a question, or you just want to plug into that potency of like being a woman and sitting with other women. I want this podcast to be that. So that's a little bit about me and my why, I guess. I want this to be an authentic place for storytelling and to begin to bridge some of these gaps that I have seen as a midwife and as a mother, and experienced myself. You know, I feel so in the thick of motherhood, and I feel so isolated and alone, and I'm sick of it. I want to thrive, and I want to just talk about things like that and bring awareness to different ways of being. I want maidens to come on here and listen and share as well. I want them to feel held by the mothers. I want them to be able to also show up for the mothers. I want us to all feel united. I want to be able to look to the Margas and the Crones and feel held by them and also be able to hold them. And I want them to impart wisdom, and I want to be able to then get to a place someday where I can do that for my children and not be still processing my maiden stuff and my mother stuff, which I think is kind of just ends up happening. We don't ever get to a place where we're like, okay, I'm now in this season. I now feel equipped to be in this season. We're just constantly like, what? What are the tools? What am I meant to be? Wow, that was so big. And then life keeps moving. And I see that with a lot of my mum's friends. They're still processing stuff from being a maiden, from maidenhood, from motherhood. Like, so they can't then be space holders and show up in the ways that the mothers now need. they still need to be held. And I'm just really curious about how we can change this, how we can start to shift this. And I think the first step in all of these things, in healing the birth realm, in us owning motherhood and actually thriving in motherhood, us feeling prepared in all of the seasons of being feminine and completely like crossing that next threshold, is bringing awareness. And we can bring awareness by storytelling. So I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to do this in the midst of the trenches of my own motherhood season. I'm excited to just be vulnerable with you all and be real. I'm not gonna pretend to be anything that I'm not. I'm probably gonna have background noise in a lot of my episodes. I'm probably gonna have babies come in or a dog barking or I don't know, but I'm just gonna come here as I am. And I encourage you all to, yeah, if you feel to come on, to show up here as well in all that you are, in all your humanness. And I want to try and get some really beautiful guests on, and I'm excited for this offering. Like, this is going to be right now what I can offer to the world, to support mothers, to support mothers to be, to give an education to maidens, you know, and just to show up. So thank you so much for being here and tuning into this first episode. And yeah, we'll just see how this journey unfolds. And I'm sure it will just keep evolving and changing as it needs to be and become its own entity. It's definitely like a calling that it wasn't even really of my complete choosing. It just felt like I needed to do it. So that's why I'm here, in all my vulnerability, in all my mess. And yeah, anyway, until next time, see you later.